Suppose that tomorrow morning your phone rings and the operator informs you that you have a call from Buckingham Palace, London, England. The person in England comes on the line, identifies himself as an administrator in charge of education of the children of the King of England. He proceeds to tell you that he has had observations and observers around the United States looking for the perfect tutor for the King's children. After many months of evaluation, he has determined that you are the one that's best qualified to tutor the royal offspring. Would you please fly to England at your earliest convenience to discuss assuming these responsibilities? Now, as a matter of fact, you just happen to have some ideas about raising children and you're so excited and eager to take this job. You fly to England.
Life is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. Well, in a world where challenges are plentiful, it's easy for us to feel discouraged. Yet with enough guidance and support, most people can achieve more in life than they ever dreamed possible. Well, beyond your fears is everything you ever dreamed of. For the Dr. Stem Show, we'll give the voiceless a voice and the hopeless hope. And now, here she is, Dr. Stem.
I know that there's a lot of confusion, there's a lot of things that are going on in people's lives. My week was chaotic, and I tell you, most of you now know that I'm from Zimbabwe, and there's been, you know, a lot of things happening in Zimbabwe politically. We've had a leader who's been a president for 37 years. Well, he's not a leader, he's a dictator for 37 years, which means things have not been working out. The economy is, I mean, trash, poor, piss poor in Zimbabwe. So it's been, really, really difficult and challenging for most of us to go back to Zimbabwe. And all of a sudden, you know, we thought this week, you know, truly he was going to resign and, you know, pave way for new leadership to come in. But if you haven't seen the news, there was a coup, which was not, you know, labeled that it's a coup by the army that took over. So right now Zimbabwe is under the army, and you know, we have been waiting. But that's not the whole basis of this show. I've just been talking about that to show you that, you know what, weeks can be really, really stressful. So in order to do that, what do I do? Here's one of the things that I do. I'm going to have this show where I talk about stories. I listen to stories. I read stories. I talk to people. I try to find uplifting, encouraging, motivating ways of dealing with my life where it is, rather than trying to control everything around me. So I hope that this show will be one of those shows that you can, you know, leisurely listen to as you go through the holidays. Listen to some of the stories that I'll be sharing with you that have meaning, that is encouraging at the end of each story, and a little bit more discussion at the end. That way we can, you know, talk about how to better manage, you know, your day-to-day stresses. But when your world falls apart, what do you do? And each world is different for everyone. Like I said, I could have let this politics and changes in my country, you know, tumble on and fall apart and break me apart days on end. But I let it happen for 2-3 days. And then after that, I didn't watch the news. I didn't listen to the news. I didn't want to hear from anyone, because at the end of the day, I realized that from where I stand, from where I am, there's not much that I can do. But of course, I'm a Christian, so I encourage people to pray for us, to pray for those people that are in power, that have the authority to make the right decisions, to make the right calls, so that lives are not lost. So at some point, you have to sit down with you and determine what is going on with me right now, what is my situation, but most of all, what power do I have over this? What can I do? What is it, you know, that is in my control? That is one of the biggest things that a lot of people, you know, have problems with, sitting down with themselves and saying, you know, what is my purpose and how do I, you know, get to control this situation? So let me just talk about, you know, stories. And the first story I wanted to talk about, most of you know I'm a Christian, so I'm going to be talking about God. So let me just put that preface, at the beginning of the show, so that, you know what, if you're one of those people that say, I don't want to hear about God, I don't want to hear about this, that maybe today's show might be one of those shows that you might, you know, not want to listen to the whole show, because I will be talking about God. I am trying to share with you how I deal with my world falling apart and how I cope with it. And hopefully from that, you also can take some of the ideas, some of the stories, and some of the things that I do in order for you to cope with what's going on in your life right now as we near the holidays, as you near everything happening so fast. Because remember, I always talk about life is like a roll of toilet paper. When it's at the end, the toilet paper, when it's getting to an end, it goes so fast, and all of a sudden you go, oh, it's time to change this toilet paper. I didn't think that it was going to go so fast. So that's where we are with the year. We are now at the end, and everything is rolling so fast. Days are going fast, time is going fast, and everything is going by fast. So you have to be on your toes and you have to be in control of, you know, what is going on with you. The first story is a little long, but it says interview with God. The story goes like this. I asked, what's the one thing that surprises you most about mankind? He answered, that they get bored of being children. They're in a rush to grow up and they long to be children again. That they lose their health to make money and then they lose their money to restore their health. That by thinking anxiously about the future, they forget all about the present, such that they live neither for the present nor the future. That they live as if they'll never die, and they die as if they never lived. Well, his hands took mine and we were silent. After a long period, I said, may I ask you another question? He replied with a smile, as a father, what would you ask your children to do for the new year? To learn that what is most valuable is not what they have in their lives, but who they have in their lives. To learn that a rich person is not one who has the most, but is one who needs the least. To learn that they should control their attitudes, otherwise their attitudes will control them. To learn that it only takes a few seconds to open profound wounds in persons we love, and that it takes many years to heal them. To learn to forgive by practicing forgiveness. To learn that they are persons that love them dearly, but simply do not know how to show their feelings. To learn that money can buy everything but happiness. To learn that while at times they may be entitled to be upset, that does not give them the right to upset those around them. To learn that great rims do not require great wings, but a landing gear to achieve. To learn that true friends are scarce. He or she who has found one has found a true treasure. To learn that it is not always enough that they be forgiven by others, but that they forgive themselves. To learn that they are masters of what they keep to themselves and slaves of what they say, to learn that they shall reap what they plant. If they plant gossip, they will harvest intrigues. If they plant love, they will harvest happiness. To learn that the true happiness is not to achieve their goals, but to learn to be satisfied with what they already have achieved. To learn that happiness is a decision. They decide to be happy with what they are and have, or die from envy and jealous of what they lack. To learn that two people can look at the same thing and see totally different. To see that those who are honest with themselves without considering the consequences go far in life. To learn that even though they may think they have nothing to give, when a friend cries with them, they find the strength to appease the pain. To learn that by trying to hold on to loved ones, they very quickly push them away, and by letting go of those they love, they will be side by side forever. To learn that even though the word love has many different meanings, it loses value when it is overstated. To learn that they can never do something extraordinary for me to love them. I simply do. And finally, to learn that the shortest distance they could be from me is the distance of a prayer. God bless. I love this story, and most of the time when I'm doing parent seminars or I'm doing a webinar, I send them this story so that they can understand some of the things that they are trying to teach their young ones. Some of the lessons that we are taught through this story. And as you can see, this is a story between God and man. This is a story where a man asks God what it is that they're supposed to learn and what it is that their life, life's worth or mission is all about. And in this story, brings out everything about life. I know as we go around the world and look at the world today, there's so much turmoil. It's not just Zimbabwe that's going through all these indecisions and unhappiness with the government. Even right here in the United States, there's still a lot of commotion. There's still a lot of disagreements. There's still a lot that's coming out from candidates and changes that are happening in the government. But at the end of the day, what lessons are we learning? What lessons are we teaching our young ones? And what lessons are we as citizens supposed to come up with, come out with, and learn from everything that is going on? I love it when the story talks about practicing forgiveness. And also talks about that money cannot buy every happiness. There are certain things in the stories that just remind me, because sometimes we work so hard and not even take a minute to just smell the roses, to till our gardens outside, to water the flowers, to water the plants, to just go and jump in the water, in the ocean, in your tub, if that's your ocean. I hardly have time to go to Clearwater, which is my favorite place ever right here in Florida. They have the white sands there, and I can go jump in the ocean, and I can just be a kid again, But guess what? I have my tab when most of the time when I'm feeling like I really want that peacefulness and that, you know, serenity, I just run me a bubble bath and I just lay there and envision myself being in the ocean and envision myself jumping in the water and just floating in the ocean just to relax. So that's why I love when it's talking about what's, you know, helping us to keep what's important in focus. Life in itself. Life is in itself. When your world falls apart. I did a few home visits this week. And I'm a medical social worker with a home care agency as well. So once in a while, they'll call me for a couple home visits here and there. And I did a couple home visits this week. And it was amazing. I walked into $1 million+ home, I tell you. I say that because of the neighborhood. I say that because the houses that are listed around it are going for $1 million. But I walked into this house and there was an elderly couple there in their 80s. Been married over 50 years, and it was surreal to get in there. And from the moment I walked in, I've never met them before. I called and made an appointment and, you know, spoke to the wife. But the minute I walked in there, this lady in her 80s opened the door and she says, "Oh, honey, it's so good to see you." And she gives me a hug and she starts crying. And I thought, what did I do? I'd never met her before. And she says, "I heard that you are the therapist and they told us that you were coming in." And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she says, "Well, I have a lot that I need to talk to you, honey, because I'm so stressed out and I'm so overwhelmed." And I look at her and look around because, of course, you know, I'm twofold. I'm mesmerized with this house that is just out of this world, and then I'm sitting with this lady who is saying to me, "Listen, my world is falling apart. My husband is ill and he's getting to be forgetful and he's falling. So we just came back from the hospital and I don't know what I will do without my husband, because now they're telling me that he's going to be dying and I cannot even understand how I will move on without him here." You know, all of a sudden, you don't look around anymore. Nothing else matters about this physical, you know, surroundings of their beautiful house and the decorations and everything. Nothing mattered. The minute she said that, I was all eyes, all ears. And all of a sudden, I realize how much it means to her to have this moment to vent, to talk about her fears, to talk about her hopes and her wishes. Because of course, you know, when you have someone that you've lived with for over 50 years, in love with, you know, I love the way they were calling each other honey and darling, even though, you know, the gentleman was going in and out, you know, memory, not remembering where he was and everything, but he could still recall her voice. And he says, "Honey, where are you? I can't hear." We were sitting right next to him. "I can't see you. I can't find you." And that's also his world. So as I was sitting there, that's when this title, "When Your World Falls Apart," came to. And I said, you know what? For this week, let me just relax and talk to the people about what it really means to live the best of your life, to make the right choices, to control those things that you can, that 10% that you can control. Hey, go at it. But guess what? 90% of what happens to your life, you probably, most likely, will not have full control over it until you take a step back and really take a look. And when I spoke to this lady for that 1 hour, I'll never forget it, because I could see how she's having sleepless nights. I could see how it's scary to her to know that this could be the end, to know that she has to start all over, to not know where to even start, you know, if it happens that, you know, he is gone. And with him right now not being coherent enough, she seems like she also still feels like she's by herself, because they can't sit there and talk like they used to. She says they used to have wine and they used to sit there and they would watch shows and they would go to church together and they would go shopping together and just walk around the mall, she was saying. And this was until last week, she said, because this just happened last week that all these changes, he fell and everything just changed. The whole world just changed in front of her. So that's with the story of that interview with God. There is much more that you have to do with your life before you can throw in the towel and call it quits. So this week we're talking about when your world falls apart, some of the stories that can encourage you, uplift you, and hopefully motivate you to be in your best as we go through the holidays. Hey, happy Thanksgiving, because it's around Thanksgiving whilst I'm doing this show with you all. So the next story I want to share with you, we want to go in the mind of a gentleman named Clarence Schultz, who is a minister and also a retired chaplain. He poses a lot of things that you and I have thought about, probably haven't even, you know, given it enough deeper thoughts into what's happening in our world today, especially with our young children. You know, my heart is with the teenagers, with the young people. My heart is with our tomorrow's leaders. On what is going wrong? What went wrong? What is it that we can correct as adults? Because then guess what? We cannot continue to just say they are bad. Today's teenagers, they're really bad. Oh my God. What? Teenagers? We don't know what to do with them. We can't continue saying that. We have to really take a look at what happened, what is going on, and what as a world, as adults, we can do. So I love to go into his thoughts and talk about what he says about why we're having so many problems around us with the young children these days. And before I go into those thoughts, my heart and condolences go to many families around the United States and around the world who have lost their teenagers, their young children to suicide in this last week alone. I can tell you right here in the central Florida, I think we have 4 suicides that happened in 4 different schools just in 1 week alone. And these kids left videos, or they left a letter of being bullied and not having the strength to take one more day. And most of them would also write that even when I tried to tell my parents at home, it didn't go anywhere because they thought I was a wimp, and they always sent me to go and talk to somebody at school, and nobody at school wanted to help me. And then I had to continue to go to school and face these people that hated me with everything in their bones and told me all the bad things that, you know, weren't even true about. So if you're a parent, or if you know anyone, I tell you, bullying is for real, and I know I talk about it in my other shows, but I will not stop talking about it, because then it bothers me when we have to bury 4 students in 1 week in 1 state. I don't even know what happened in other states, and if I have to do the research and look at other states, I bet you, or other countries, I bet you there were other children in other states and other countries that also took their lives this last week. So it's something that we really have to pay attention to as adults, and lawmakers need to make sure that something happens in the schools for us to be able to prevent this bullying, harsher consequences, harsher laws, that if any of these kids are caught or reported, that something has to happen to them rather than just talk to them and say, stop it. That's not going to help it.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep, but it doesn't have to be that way. there haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
Let the silent voices be heard. It's the rallying call that started it all. AmericaOutLoud.com. For a wide spectrum of programming from world and political news, societal and cultural stories, law enforcement, our military heroes, and much more. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
Minister Clarence Schultz, he says, with all gangs and the increasing violence in our schools, what in the world is happening with our kids today? Let's see. I think it started when Madeline Murray O'Hare complained that she didn't want any prayer in our schools. And everybody said, okay. Then someone said, you better not read the Bible in the school. The Bible that says, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself. And everybody said, okay. Dr. Benjamin Spock said we shouldn't spank our children when they misbehave because their little personalities would be warped and we might damage their self-esteem. And again, we said an expert should know what he's talking about. So we won't spank the children anymore. Then someone said the teachers and principals better not discipline our children when they misbehave. And the school administrators said no faculty member in the school better touch a student when they misbehave because we don't want any bad publicity and we surely don't want to be sued. And again, this was acceptable. Then someone says, let's our daughters have abortions if they want. If they won't even have to, they won't even have to tell their parents. And everyone said, oh, that's a grand idea. Have women have abortions. These young women have abortions. Don't even have to tell a teacher or a grown up or an adult. They even said, let's have clinics within the school that will give these children protection and not even tell the parents that they're on birth control and all kinds of birth control, from the injections to the pills to the everything. These kids are taking them at 13, 14 and not tell a parent. Again, everybody said, oh, that's a grand idea, and they let it go. Then some wise school board member said, since boys will be boys and they're going to do it anyway, let's give our sons all the condoms they want so they can have all the fun they desire and we won't have to tell their parents they got them at school. And everybody said that's a grand idea. So it was implemented. And then some of our top elected officials say that it doesn't matter what we do in private as long as we do our jobs. And agreeing with them, we said it doesn't matter to me what anyone, including the president, does in private as long as I have a job and the economy is good. You see where it's all going? Why it's all wrong? And how it has turned out to be an environment that is not conducive to raise resilient, successful teenagers that do have morals and values. That's my take on it. But he goes on to say, and then someone says, let's print magazines with pictures of nude women and call it wholesome, down-to-earth appreciation for the beauty of the female body. And nobody saw any problem with that. And someone else took that appreciation a step further and published pictures of nude children, and then stepped further still by making them available on the internet. And everyone said, well, they're entitled because it's part of free speech. So, of course, the entertainment industry says, let's make TV shows and movies that promote profanity, violence, and illicit sex. And let's record music that encourages homosexuality, rape, drugs, murder, suicide, satanic themes. And those sales went off the chain. And then we said, it's just entertainment. It has no adverse effect and nobody takes it seriously anyway. So go right ahead. Therefore, now we're asking ourselves why our children have no conscience, why they don't know right from wrong, and why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers, their classmates, teachers, and themselves. Probably if we think about it long enough, we can figure it out. I think it has to do with a great deal of you reap what you sow. And that were the thoughts of Clarence Schultz, who I said is a minister and a retired Navy chaplain. When you look at it, it is so true. Because we say one thing and then we do another. And this is usually, you know, for most people, they will say, you know what, don't do this. And yet they themselves are the number one culprits. I won't even talk about what's going on in the government with people sleeping with, you know, children, with teenagers, or raping women. And yet they are the lawmakers. They are the ones that are supposed to be, you know, making laws that protect children and women and men and the country. And yet they are the number one perpetrators. Say they didn't do anything, and the next thing, oh, I'm not running anymore. Like, just sweep it under the rug, and because I've decided I'm not running anymore. Anyway, if you haven't watched the politics, watch, you know, the politics of the United States. And oh, don't even watch it. Listen to it right here on America Out Loud, because guess what? We have some really, really great political shows that happen here. And, you know, I get to listen to them as well, because I'm not well versed with my politics. I'll own up to that. When I read newspapers, I'm not reading about politics because most of it, I don't quite understand it, but I have enough knowledge and understand to be alert, to be oriented, and to be informed. So what I love about, you know, America Out Loud is they go deeper into the explanations, the debates, and the conversations that when you listen to the shows, you bet you will be, you know, well versed in what's happening with the news. But I agree with him in the sense that we have to figure out a way to instill values that value life, values that value a whole person, so that, you know, in our schools, we don't have all these children work. It's almost like the walking dead when you go into some of these schools, because you ask a kid why they're going to school, why they're coming to school, and most of them, they have no idea why they are coming to school, even if it's just to learn. I wish I could get an answer that says, oh, I come to school to learn. No. Oh, no. Oh, I come to just see my friends. And, you know, sometimes I go to the classes and sometimes I don't, but I come here to meet with my friends and to see my friends. Really? And that's the most important thing, that will wake you up every day to come and see your friends. And then what? After you see your friends for 5 years, 10 years. In school, then what? I don't know. So I agree with him that if we bring back prayer in the school, and we bring back, you know, having to study the Bible or study the Quran, I mean, it doesn't have to be Christian alone. We can bring all different, you know, religions, that, you know, the students can have those choices. It'll just be assembles, you know, during assemblies and, you know, gatherings. one day you schedule it to be a Christian, and then, you know, it will be a Buddhist, and then it will be a Muslim, so that they rotate. But it also helps the students to also learn about the different, you know, religions, if you put it that way. See, with the students, you can always implement, and they will take it and say, well, okay, I guess, you know, I'm supposed to join in and learn. But it's when adults say, well, my child is Christian, so they're not attending a Muslim church, they're not attending a Buddhist church, that's when they start looking and going, oh, I guess I'm not supposed to attend this year. But the students themselves, or children themselves, if it's put in there where you go to assembly, there's prayer, Christian night on this day, on this assembly day, and then we do, you know, the Muslim, and we do, I mean, the different ones, you know, on different days, so that the students are aware. And, you know, hopefully they can get to learn about the different religions and not given a choice of whether to attend or not. So that when you have, you know, Christians, you have 40, you know, students, and then you have 50 and the other one 100. No, I think every student should attend, and they can learn about the different religions. But what it does is it helps them to mold their lives, to have plans for their lives, to make, you know, their lives worthy and matter, I think. And it's just my opinion. It's scary too when you look at the schools today and how the students, you know, are not testing well. They're not, you know, learning a lot of things in the schools for some students. That you wonder where education is going to be in the next 5-10 years. Will we still have that many students completing high school, going to college, I mean, being college graduates? Are we still going to have that? And then it bothers me as well that it's so expensive to go to school, and then there's not much paying, you know, high paying jobs in order to help pay for the student loans. So I don't know. But I agree with him that something has to be looked at as far as, you know, what's, you know, instilled in the schools or not, and what laws we are passing and what we're allowing in the case of music, movies, that we are allowing. And yet, you know what, that's exactly what's being played out in the school and in our teenagers' lives. And then it's not okay to do that. And yet it's out there in the public. When your world falls apart, stories of encouragement and a discussion about just motivation and uplifting. I have to tell you that just by me reading these stories and talking about these stories has helped me to calm down. It actually has helped me to stay focused during this show. So I hope as you get to listen to it, that it will be just as calming and soothing for you as well, that you'll find it helpful to just listen to some of these stories and, you know, my interpretation of how you can use this to just relax yourself and to put more focus and effort in your life to make sense of what's going on around you and within you on a day-to-day basis. So my next story is titled Just Suppose. Suppose that tomorrow morning your phone rings and the operator informs you that you have a call from Buckingham Palace, London, England. The person in England comes on the line, identifies himself as an administrator in charge of education of the children of the King of England. He proceeds to tell you that he has had observations and observers around the United States looking for the perfect tutor for the King's children. After many months of evaluation, he has determined that you are the one that's best qualified to tutor the royal offspring. Would you please fly to England at your earliest convenience to discuss assuming these responsibilities? Now, as a matter of fact, you just happen to have some ideas about raising children and you're so excited and eager to take this job. You fly to England and sign a contract. But before you begin the job, the administrator says, you're going to have to take 2 weeks of intensive study to learn the finer points of raising the king's children. During this time, you learn that the children of royal adhere to a different curriculum than most other children. They must not only learn to read and write, gain maturity and be proficient in many fields of academic endeavor. They must also be familiar with the history of their country of Western civilization. They must learn how to function in the royal court. They must know how to treat their subjects with consideration and tact. They must learn to relate to their heads of state of other countries. They must learn about political amenities and that their time is not always their own. They may not get to play in the streets with other children. They will not be exposed to crudity or vulgarity. They will learn to be moral, true, honest, gracious, kind, gentle, and yet strong in their convictions. When the 2 weeks were completed, you began a successful career of raising the children of the king. In later years, you honored the king, and you were honored for having attained your own goals. The king commends you and his children commend you for your devotion and hard work throughout the years. A fanciful story, right? But let me suggest this.
The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. News blogs, informative podcasts, and entertaining videos. It's AmericaOutloud.com, where the conversation never ends. With 24/7 streaming on our free apps on both Android and Apple. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
If you have children in your home right now, as you're listening to this show, or you know someone who has children in their home, you have already received a call to raise your royal offspring. The call did not come from Birmingham Palace, as I said, but it has come from the throne of the Almighty. You do not have to go to London to do your tutoring. You can do it right there in your own home with the children God gave you to raise. I'm always amazed at how people, parents, do not value the importance, the uniqueness, the gift of having children. I understand that there are some people that end up being pregnant and having children, and yet they themselves did not choose to have children and they don't want to have children, but end up having children. I understand that. But what I don't understand is if someone feels like that and then they get blessed with being pregnant and have children and they still feel that this was not their calling and this is not their passion or their, you know, plan for their life, why they don't give those children either to family members to take care of them or to give them up for adoption so that loving parents who are awaiting to give these children the love and care that they need can do so. Because for any parent that gets to give up their children to somebody else to take care of them, I think that is the ultimate gift of love that they can ever give these children. It is the ultimate gesture of love from their point of view as well. Because sometimes what we call blessings might not appear to be blessings to other people. It'll appear as a burden. Thus I say about anything that is going to be happening at this end when life is rolling fast and going fast and the year is coming to an end. You have to determine yourself which things, situations, places, people in your life are blessings and which are burdens. You have to determine which people, places, time, and things need your effort and your time because they are blessings to you, or they are a burden and they don't deserve any of your time, focus, or energy that you're giving it right now. You really, truly have to sit down and determine for yourself how you are using your time, especially during this time when most people's worlds are falling apart. Some people have lost loved ones. They're still not even here. I lost a friend this week who was in South Africa. He was one of the radio presenters that I used to work with at Visions FM 2 years ago. And he just had hiccups from the family. They said he had hiccups. They took him to the hospital. And the next day, he was gone. What a great man. And if the family ever have, you know, to listen to the show, I want them to know that my heart goes out to them for the loss of Ralph, because he was a great guy. Very quiet, but great DJ. When you heard him on radio, it was like the quietness went out and the music selections. And we used to use him for some of our commercials because we all loved his voice and everybody had, you know, a commercial that he had made. So determine, you know, whether you're using your time wisely or not. Because guess what? Time is of essence. Time is of essence. So as I wrap up and talking about time is of essence, of course the end will come. I just spoke about my friend that I just lost all of a sudden. Of course, it's all of a sudden because he wasn't sick or anything. He just, you know, went ill one day and then the next day he was gone. So I will leave you with these questions to ponder. What will God ask? God won't ask what kind of fancy car you drove. He will ask how many people you took to church who didn't have transportation. He will ask how many people you helped to go to the doctors to run errands that didn't have transportation. God won't ask the square footage of your house. He will ask how many people you helped who didn't have a house. How many people did you feed who didn't have food in your house? God won't ask how many fancy clothes you had in your closet. He will ask how many clothes you gave away to the poor. He won't ask what social class you were in. He will ask what kind of class you displayed. He won't ask how many material possessions you had. He will ask whether those material possessions dictated your life. He won't even ask what your highest salary was. He will ask if you trampled over any people to obtain that salary. He won't ask how much overtime you worked. He will ask if you worked overtime for your family and loved ones. He won't ask how many promotions you received. He will ask, what did you do to promote others? And guess what? He won't even ask what your title, your job title was. He will ask if you performed your job to the best of your ability. I love this one because people seem to throw this one, you know, at me most of the time. Or maybe I feel like they're throwing it at me most of the time. God won't ask how many degrees you had. He will ask how many people you thanked for helping you get those degrees. So I laugh at that one because a lot of people seem to throw that one at me because I have every degree you can name it, you know. I've done them all. And of course, I'm grateful for all those people that helped me get those degrees. And how did I do that? I even wrote books. And at every acknowledgement, I acknowledge them. So for me, hey, I've thanked everyone. But God won't ask what your parents did to help you. He will ask what you did to help your parents. He won't ask what you did to help yourself. He will ask what you did to help others. He won't ask how many friends you had, but he will ask how many people were you a friend to. He won't ask what you did to protect your rights, but he will ask what you did to protect the rights of others. God won't ask what neighborhood you lived in. He will ask how many other neighborhoods you visited. He won't ask how many times you told the truth, but he will ask how many times you told a lie. God won't ask about the color of your skin, but he will ask about the color of your heart. God will not ask how many times your deeds matched your words. He will ask how many times they didn't. I like this poem because what it does, it puts again your life into perspective. And when I think of it on a daily basis, it helps me ponder on what I will spend my time on and what I have to let go. Because sometimes we spend so much time, effort, energy on things that we truly don't have any business focusing on, that won't matter at the end of the day. So when I read this every time, and all these stories that I'm reading you, I literally have a folder that has them, that usually I just open up a page in my folder and say, I wonder what story will come up today. And I read that, and that's my lesson. That's my devotion for the day. So it just depends on, you know, how I'm feeling and what time of day I want to open up that folder. And I open it up, and then I get the story. So I hope that this show today has helped you to come up with your own stories. What stories will help you relax? What stories will help you tell your story? Because sometimes I find that if you're one, you know, that is focused on influencing others, on uplifting others or helping others, is, you know, this story was, this poem was talking about, it literally fills you up whilst you're doing that. It helps you more than, you know, helping the other people. So of course, you know, I know for me, I love doing these shows with you every week because I never know what I'm going to talk about. And whatever comes to mind, I know it will uplift someone, it will help someone in, you know, one way or the other, whether you listen to it from the beginning to the end or in the middle of it, because sometimes I'm rushing and then I'm listening to some old shows and they're already playing on America Out Loud and I'm listening to them in the middle and I'm going, oh, that was a good point. I don't remember, you know, what I was thinking or what I was going through. And then I listened to the whole show and it makes sense. So I hope that, you know, you're one of those people that at random you listen to these shows, because then we replay these shows Monday through Friday. My shows come on from 7 p.m. until 9 p.m. So I hope that you do tell friends that they can go on America Out Loud. I'm also always looking for new shows. So if you have a story, if you have, you know, someone that you want me to interview that have a story that is encouraging, that is empowering, uplifting, please let me know. Let them email me at drstem@americaoutloud.com. drstem@americaoutloud.com, and you know, I will give you a call or email you back so that we can set up a date and have a show. So today we were talking about when your whole world falls apart. What do you do when your world falls apart? What are some of those things that you go to? I go to stories, and I hope I was able to help you with some of the stories, you know, that I shared with you today. I want to share one quick last story with you that will hopefully encourage and motivate you. It says, Lord, thank you. It's amazing because gratitude, you always hear people talking about gratitude, right? And sometimes it's difficult for people to say, what am I grateful for? It's interesting how even if you're grateful for the smallest things, how that will help you look at the bigger things in life and be grateful for those things. But two, it will help your mood and it will help your energy. So this one says, Lord, thank you, as I end the show. Lord, thank you for the sink of dirty dishes. That means we have plenty of food to eat. Thank you for this pile of dirty, stinky laundry. That means we have plenty of nice clothes to wear. And I would like to thank you, Lord, for those unmade beds. They were so warm and comfortable last night. I know that many have no bed. My thanks to you, Lord, for this bathroom, complete with all its splattered mirrors, soggy, grimy towels, and dirty lavatory that are so convenient. Thank you for this finger-smashed refrigerator that needs defrosting so badly. It has served us faithfully for many years. It is full of cold and enough leftovers for two or three meals. Thank you, Lord, for this oven that absolutely must be cleaned today. It has baked so many things over the years. The whole family is grateful for the tall grass that needs mowing. My kids are healthy and able to run and play. My spouse is healthy and able to work and take care of us. I shall do everything that I do today and always cheerfully and gratefully. And all God's people, before you say amen, please clean your house, clean your bathrooms, clean your, as I read this, I was just clinging and clinging to say, no, thank the Lord for the clean dishes and the clean bathroom and the clean bedroom that is, you know, has the bed made, because you'll have a clearer mind. Have a great week. We will talk again next week. This is Dr. Stem. And as I always say, be encouraged and encouraging.